It is time for the Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ, meeting at the four-way stop in Caneyville, Kentucky. The Caneyville Church of Christ meets for Bible study on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. and worship at 10:45. We meet Sunday afternoon at 5. We meet for Wednesday night Bible study at 7. If you'd like to ask a Bible question or schedule a Bible study, please feel free to call 589-4167. Your speaker today is Jared Jacobs.
Welcome to this another edition of the Ancient Landmark. My name is Jared Jacobs, and I'm so glad to be with you, so thankful we have this time to open up God's Word and to study together. We encourage you, if you will, to get a Bible out and follow along with the things we're going to study as we spend time together in the Book of God. We have today with us a couple extras with us and good friends of the program. And we have, of course, with us our brother Jordan Lawson. Jordan's here with us today, and always glad for him to be here. We also have our good brother Lanny Smith. And Lanny's with us from Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. And he's with us today and studying with us. And we're so glad that he's here and so glad for the opportunity we have for all of us to study together. And so, you know, we were talking before the program started, and I, you know, we were kind of talking together and thought this might be a good subject to discuss. I think, Lanny, you talked about it just from the standpoint of saying, not in my house. You ever said that before? Something's going on, you say, not in my house. Not going to happen in my house. You know, it's not going to be done around here. You as the parent, you as the father, mother, you make decisions along that line relative to this. It's not going to be in my house, and it's not going to happen here. You know, might happen somewhere else. I can't control that, but it might, but it's not going to be here. And we got to talking about some of that, kind of that sentiment, that mentality, that mindset of commands and such that happens so much. And Lanny, I'll let you talk about this, but I thought it'd be interesting for us to study that and talk about that together for a little while.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of places to go with that, but as a text to kind of put the thought out there for us, in the book of Judges, chapter 19, just going to read a couple of verses here, but there was this Levite whose concubine had left him, and she was gone for a while, and he went and got her, and he was bringing her home, and they had to stop for the night. And they stopped in Gibeah, and it says in verse 22, Judges 19:22, as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them, and he said, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly, seeing this man has come into my house. Do not commit this outrage. Now, what's going on here is that this guest comes in, and he's staying in somebody's house, and these men come, and they want to, just to be blunt about it, this is a homosexual gang rape. That's what they wanted to do. Bring this man out here that we can rape him in a homosexual way, that we may know him carnally. But the man says, don't do this wicked thing because you come into my house. Now, that's just another way. That's an ancient way of saying, not in my house. And I, you can go a lot of places with that. There's a lot of things, and we need to, as parents, we need to draw the line on some things. There are some things that aren't going to happen in my house. There's too many parents where the children rule, and that can't be. You can't let your children. You have to be the parent. You have to put your foot down. You have to establish some rules. And there are certain things that you just simply can't let happen in your house. And the first thing I would like to just throw out there is the idea of disobedience without consequence. Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, the first part of that, foolishness is bound up, I don't think that's an insult to children. He's simply saying they don't know any better.
Yeah.
They're young and they don't know any better. They're going to do foolish things. But he says you can't leave it at that. He says the rod of correction. And by the way, the word rod could actually be translated to switch.
Yes,
that's
yes.
really what he's talking about there. He's not talking about beating your kids with a big old rod. He calls it the rod of correction. He's talking about correcting them, giving them a spanking, give them a switching, if you please. But so it emphasizes that. But, you know, we as parents, we fall into these little traps when we try to make excuses or we don't want to discipline our kids. And we like, well, if I have to tell you that one more time, and then we say it again. Well, if I have to tell you that one more time, and then we say it a third time, well, listen, your kids just got a message right there. You don't mean what you say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you can fall into that one more time trap. And sometimes the parents will do this counting thing. If I get to three, you know, one, two, and you know what some parents will do with that? Two and a quarter, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and 15 sixteenths, and that's more like 10 or 12. That's not three.
Yeah.
And the child is learning, you don't mean what you say.
Well, I don't mean what I say till three.
Yeah.
What I've and we can talk about that. I've seen parents do this, and I'll tell you, I started out this way, and then I determined not to be this way. Is the parent that didn't mean it till they yelled. In other words, you can say no, 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 and not until that last no did I mean it. And the children learn that. You just said no. Nah, that doesn't mean anything. Or if you say, come here, come here, come here, come here. Well, you didn't mean it till the last time. And that's what parents end up teaching their children subconsciously or unconsciously is to say, I didn't mean it till I yelled. I didn't mean it the first time. Well, there are situations, and I recognize it may not be every day. There are situations where you need to listen to me the first time. There can be instances of danger. Instances of, you know, different things happen, and the child needs to listen to the parent the first time for safety's sake. And then you talk about as well the obedience side of it, which they need to listen anyways. You need to for the first time, and children need to be taught that, you know, they end up disobeying without consequence because you say, well, they didn't mean it that time, or at least that's the way it is constructed. So I kind of jumped in on that, but I mean, yeah. Also in Proverbs 22, there's kind of one of my favorite chapters anyways for teaching about parents about children, because if you look at that, of course, verse 6 says to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. And unfortunately, there's people that treat the book of Proverbs as if every sentence is its own context. And nothing connects with anything else. And actually, it does. Because you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, let me tell you what you should teach him. The whole chapter is telling you what you should teach children. And one of these has to do, or I mean more than one, but here is, you know, they learn the consequences of their action. Verse 8, he that sows iniquity shall reap vanity. The rod of his anger shall fail. If you sow iniquity, you'll reap vanity. In other words, you sow sin, wickedness, and all that, it's going to be a waste of your time and a waste of your life. There are consequences to what you do. We do our children a disservice when we do not allow them to face the consequence of their decisions. And there's been too many people, there's a couple generations now at least, who the parents will defend the children even though they are in error and wrong, and instead of allowing them to take the consequences, whether it's at school, whether it's at home, wherever, and instead of that, what you see is Mother Bear come out. And Mother Bear, and I'm not just picking on Mom when I say that, but just here's this, you know, wounded bear coming out to protect the children regardless of what they actually did. Shame on us for being like that. Shame on us for that, because that is not the right way to be. And you'll end up harming your children by protecting them when they really need to face what they did. Face the consequences. And it hurts them too many times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't speak from experience. I don't have children, but I just know when I was growing up, my mom would always have this principle: if I did something wrong, she's not going to try to protect me from the wrong I did. If somebody tells her that I did something wrong, she's going to discipline me for that wrong, because if I wasn't disciplined for that, and she instead comes to my rescue and tries to protect me from it, I'm not going to learn what I did was wrong. And I'm going to, if that becomes a habit, that might become unconscious in me. Like, okay, I can just do whatever I want. And as I grow up and mature as a man or as a person, I might start to take that into my life. You know, there's no consequence for me doing wrong. So that's why we're talking about Proverbs, you know, don't spare the rod. Some people think, you know, that's love, but it's not. You know, we children need to be disciplined in order to learn right from wrong.
Now, this is not a Bible statement, what I'm about to say, but you just reminded me of this. It's not a Bible statement, but it was an old statement that said, spare the rod and spoil the child. And like I said, that's not a Bible proverb, but it is an old proverb. And used to, that was a warning. And I don't know how long it's been that's been said, oh, I believe in sparing the rod. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what I believe in. That's what I want to do. I just want to spoil that child. And we've turned that almost into a negative, like, well, I want to spoil them. You know, make them feel good all the time. But you know, used to, that was a warning. If you spare the rod, you will spoil the child, and that is a bad thing. But we've turned it around to where it's like, don't spare the rod so I can spoil the child, and then we've got a mess. So in our house, are we allowing that disobedience without consequence?
Yeah, you know, when I was young, and I guess you don't hear much about it anymore, but when I was young, they used to paddle kids at school.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher sometimes would hang the paddle at the front of the classroom just as a warning, you know. And my dad always told me, now, if you get a paddle in at school, you're going to get another one to get home.
Yeah.
It was none of this, as you said earlier, none of this mama bear or papa bear going in and defending me. Yeah. If you get a paddle in at school, you're going to get another one. And that's what we need, is that parental reinforcement, that parental discipline, parents being parents.
Yes.
And drawing that line. Yes. In the sand.
Parents, you are not your children's friend. And when that concept came in that I'm going to be my child's buddy, that was one of the worst things you could do. And even as I say that, people think that sounds harsh or sounds hateful. And that's not what that is. You love your children. Love them with all your heart. And we do anything and sacrifice for them. But parents, you are not your child's friend. That is not what this is about. You're to train them up. And to teach them, and yes, show them that a fact of you know, what we're talking about, where there are consequences, in this case, where there are consequences. You must have that, because listen to me, a child does not or cannot appreciate fully his heavenly father he hasn't seen if he doesn't have a father that he has seen. I don't know if we think about that enough or think about God's plan in this. But the Father, for example, he stands as that authority figure, because he is. But then think about what that reflects, your heavenly Father. See? And how sad it is when children don't have that, either because the father is just neglectful or because the father's not even there. Either way, it's a horrible thing. But here's disobedience without consequence. You can't have it in your house. We can't have that. And too many people have allowed it, and it's brought about the mess that we've got even to this day in so many places, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, along the same lines, you hear a lot today, well, spanking your kid, that's child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And nobody's talking here. We talk about spanking your kids or the rod of correction. We're not talking about cutting them or bruising them or breaking bones. That's not worth it.
No.
That would be abusive.
That's abuse.
But we're talking about a swat on the backside. That never hurt anybody. I got them when I was young. I'm sure you did too. And we're still here to tell the tale. It didn't warp our personality. Well, at least not mine. I don't know about yours. But it didn't warp our personalities. It's good to have that discipline. And it's something you carry with you. It has meaning. You look, trust me on this, you will look back in your adult years and you'll be thankful that you got those paddlings or those spankings. You'll be thankful for that.
You'll be thankful for it, absolutely. Because, and again, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I want you to notice, please, and what you said about the switch, that's absolutely true. You look back and look up the word, that's what it means, is a switch. Doesn't mean a two before. Doesn't mean a bow door. Or whatever else somebody might think of when they think of a rod. Doesn't mean a great big stick. Doesn't mean a broom handle. Switch. But then the other thing is the rod of correction. of correction describes what kind of rod it is. It's not the rod of abuse. Mm-hmm. It's not the rod of anger. It's not the rod of hatred. It's not the rod of revenge or whatever else you think it's going to be. It's not that. It's not the rod of frustration. Sometimes there's parents that whip their kids and it's out of frustration. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be doing that for frustration's sake. You do that for correction's sake. And so God even describes it for us. It's not abuse. And anything that was abuse, then that's wrong. You don't do that. And it's not mental abuse, physical, verbal abuse, whatever. All those things are wrong. They're sinful, wrong, and you're wrong for doing it. But not for correction, not for spanking your child, not for doing that, where they have a consequence. And believe you me, it's better to do that now, because in a household where they love you, because otherwise you get out in the world where they don't love you, and then you will get corrected. And you don't want what's coming then. And your children don't want what's coming when that happens. You want that in the house and in the environment where you love each other and say, and like I've said before, where you have a situation where you have a correction and you have a whip and it takes place, and yes, they cry, and then you go and you cry.
Yep.
That's where that takes place, and not out here in the big bad world that they don't love you anyways and they don't mind correcting you however they want to. And then you're stuck.
Yeah. Well, and to bring that around to our sermon title, we need to be the kind of parents that says, not in my house. Not going to have disobedience without consequence in my house. I'll let you talk here, Jordan, for a minute.
Yeah, just kind of going along with what you guys have been saying, you know, having those principles and laying down, you know, things that won't happen in our house, you know, children need to understand that. And I think that's going to kind of go into the next point we want to bring out.
Go ahead.
So the one behavior would be cursing, you know, cursing a lot of parents. I mean, I've actually read that some parents actually teach their kids, especially in Hollywood, to curse. They tell them to use certain curse words and stuff like that. But as people trying to serve God, that should be something that's not allowed in our house. And I don't know if you had something to add to that, Lanny.
I do. I think it's important for us to understand the meaning of the word curse. And a curse, we call it cussing. That's a corruption of the word curse. But when you curse, you're calling down curses. You're asking God to do something. Now, I'm not going to say the words, but you'll know what I'm saying when people will say G-D-U. Now, we know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about what you're saying. That's like a little prayer. It's a nasty prayer. May God do this to you. Why would you wish that on anybody?
Yes.
Why would those kind of words come out of your mouth? But that's what a curse is, you see. Or you know how this one goes. You go to, and you know how you can fill in the blank, to the bad place, okay? Why would you wish that on somebody? Why would you wish? That's cursing. We call it cussing, but it's cursing. It's calling down a curse, and that should not be. Not in my house. We're not having that kind of language in my house.
Absolutely. What does that do? The vain words like that. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 12 that every vain word, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wonder if these types of words might fit that category. I believe so. You're not talking about telling someone have a good day. You're not telling somebody, I hope you enjoyed your breakfast. You're not talking in those ways. And even from the, we're talking about correction, even from the correction side, if you sit down and whenever a child I say child here, but I mean a teenager, you know, someone, and they're in our house you still want to correct them. Well, you're not going to, you know, give them a cussing, you know, that, what good does that do? But I know parents that do that, and they say, that child here, he's a, you know, and then fill in the blank right there. And I'm going, what? Why would you call, and right to their face, my child, he's a blank. And you're going, why would you say that to a child? And I'm saying child here, but I'm saying, you know, a teenager, why do you say that to your offspring?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to love them.
Yeah.
And how, number two, how does that correct them when you say, well, he's just a blank? you know, and maybe the word A or maybe worse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why would you say that to your child? That's vain words, empty words. And then, for example, you could talk about somebody, you know, doing that at the workplace, doing that at the, and somebody, well, we're just teasing, you know, how guys are, and we cut up and ha, 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 and we'll tell them, we'll call each other names and cuss and whatever. Why? Every idle word a man shall speak, he's going to give account thereof in the day of judgment. Everything you're saying, it is what you do, but it's what you say. Because what you say is a direct reflection on what you're thinking about. Matthew chapter 15, 17 to 20 talks about things that men were thinking about. And Christ said, it's not the things that come into the mouth. And so that's not what's defiling you. He said, it's what comes out of the mouth. Because what comes out of the mouth are evil thoughts. Thoughts, murders, adulteries, and all these awful things. That's coming out. The contrast in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, where he talks about the things that are good that you need to say and that you need to think about, because that's what is going to come out. Let me pause for a moment and remind you this program is brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Caneyville Church of Christ meets together on the Lord's Day at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:45 for our worship time, and 5 in the afternoon for worship. We meet Wednesday night at 7 for a period of Bible study, and we'd love to see you. You'd be our honored guest if you come and be with us. Certainly, if you have any questions, call me, text 589-4167, and you can request a Bible correspondence course or just to ask a Bible question to discuss maybe the things we're talking about today or any other Bible-related subject, anything from the things we have studied, certainly from the radio program. If you're having questions, let me know about that. You can go to our website, CaneyvilleChurchOfChrist.com, write us an email, whatever you'd like. Send us messages on Facebook, Caneyville Church of Christ. And you can go there and like us and follow us and all that wonderful stuff. We'd love to see you with us. We meet just right across the road from the Sacramento Bank, Caneyville. They're near the intersection of Highway 62 and Highway 79 in Grayson County. We'd love to see you come be with us at any and every time. We need to jump back into this. What about this cursing business and taking God's name in vain and things like that? Should that be in our house?
It should not be. It should not be in our house. And I tell you, we just along those lines, we sometimes will make excuse. Now, I know this from experience. I'm not proud to say this, but I'm using this as an illustration. Before I became a Christian, I carried bad language. I said some things that I'm just ashamed of now. But, you know, when people would question me about it, you know what I'd say? Well, God knows I don't mean that. I took his name. God knows I don't mean that. You're kidding yourself, people. God knows I'm just playing around, or I don't really mean that. Well, you said it anyway. You said it anyway, and God is going to hold you responsible. The Bible says, this is Exodus 20 and verse 7, and I know it's the Old Testament, but it's still a principle that's true. He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. There's no excuse for that. None at all. So get a handle on the tongue. Not in my house. Not dad, not mom, not children, nobody. Not in my house.
That's right. And how easy it is. And that's the thing. You go to the book of James chapter 3, and he talks about the need for bridling the tongue. And there's a reason for that, because it's so easy for us to say things that we ought not. It's so easy for those things just to just pour out, and there they are. And it's too late. They're there. And again, if we're not careful, then we end up justifying what we're saying. And that's even worse. It just adds sin to sin in that case. We need to repent. Need to repent of those things and do what the Lord has said.
Yeah, just adding on to that, you know, James chapter 3, verse 9 talks about the tongue, and he says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And then he talks about how that ought not to be. So we need to, you know, that type of language and that type of talking ought not be in our house.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we can move on to another aspect where we should not allow things in our house, and that's what we could call filthy or wasteful or addictive habits. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I want to point out, when he says all things are lawful, he's not saying fornication is lawful. He's not saying murder is lawful. The very next verse says, food's for the stomach and the stomach for the food. He's talking about meats. All meats are lawful.
Yes.
But in that context, he says, even though something might be lawful, it might not be helpful, might not be the best thing for you to do. And then he says, it might be lawful, but it might also be enslaving. I will not be brought under the power of anything. So we have a principle here about addiction. And the Bible says that the Christian is to be in control of themselves. Your habits are not to control you. You are to control them. You are not to let these habits overpower you, you see. And so the Bible talks about temperance or self-control. And there's a lot of filthy habits. And I know this is probably not popular in this part of the world, but one thing that pops in my mind is this idea of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, first of all, it's wasteful. It's addictive. It smells like you can walk in a church building and I can tell you right away the brethren who smoke and the ones who don't, because you can smell it on them. It is smelly. It's wasteful. It's addictive. Now, you think about the cost of cigarettes. What is it? I don't even know now. $5 a pack? And if you've got a two-pack-a-day habit, that's $10 a day. That's 70 bucks a week. You may as well take that $70, put it in an ashtray, and light it. Think about that. Because that's what you're literally doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying cigarettes, and you're lighting them. Mm-hmm. And so you might as well just take that $70. Let's save yourself. Cut out the middle, man. Put that $70 in an ashtray and light it. It's waste. You're wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known of people who will come to the church and say, I need help. I can't pay my light bill. And they smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And they've wasted 70 bucks on smoking that they could have put on their light bill. You see what I'm driving at here? And so we need to be people say, not in my house. We're not doing that in my house.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes back to that. You've got the being brought under the power of something. There you're addicted to something. That's a problem. He just points it out. That's wrong to have that addiction like that. And of course, that could go from there to any kind of a drug, any kind of anything it's addictive on you. It's harming the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 to 20 talks about how that the body actually belongs to God. Well, if my body belongs to God and I'm going to destroy it, tear it up, mess it up, doesn't make much sense to me, but folks do that. Think about what you're doing, and it could be for any type of tobacco product. And one time I had that asked of me. They said, something. They said, well, preacher, getting after smoking is everything with tobacco wrong, or is it just smoking it wrong? And it's like, no, everything relative to that. Whether you're going to chew it, eat it, sniff it, snuff it, burn it, whatever it is you're doing, suck on it, whatever it is you're doing, that's the problem. That's absolutely the problem. It's hurting, harming your body, harming your influence, harming in a way to addict your brain, and all of that goes into it. It's the same idea with vaping. Now, vaping's kind of a new thing, and or having Juuls. We're going to Juul this. Kind of thing. It's kind of like saying Kleenex anymore, I guess, but Juul, because Juul's a brand name. But the idea of vaping that and used to, what I was told, I was told by people who did it, used to, when this first started, they said, well, this is to get me off of cigarettes, because I go from cigarettes and I go from this, because it's not really smoke. Smoking, it's steam, it's water vapor. And then go from that, and then I'll be able to quit. I'm like, okay, fine, that's what some have excused it that way, but anymore, people just swapped one for another. And so they said, well, I got the nicotine in the cigarette. Okay, well, what you're saying, Lanny, it stinks and doesn't smell good and all that. I tell you what, I get my nicotine from the vapor, and I'll just do it that way, and that way you won't have to smell it.
Yeah, and you haven't gained a thing. It's still addictive.
That makes it okay then if you don't smell it, right?
Yeah, and you've missed the point because it's the addiction. That's right, the addiction principle, 1 Corinthians 6. And so you're still addicted.
That's what's happening. Folks, we've got to say, not in my house. We're not going to do those things. We're not going to act that way. We're going to serve the Lord. And if it means somebody's not going to like it, or it means going against society's norms, society's mores, we've got to do it that way. Friends, are you saying not in my house? There's more we could talk about, and I believe we're going to here in a future program. But think about this. Are we taking a stand, making a stand for the Lord in our house and in our lives? Are you doing that? If you have any questions, call me, 589-4167. We'd love to hear from you, love to talk to you and study with you from God's Word. So thankful for this time and so thankful for our study. And if you have any questions, call me. Till next time, Lord willing, we bid you good day.
You have been listening to The Ancient Landmark, brought to you by the Caneyville Church of Christ. Tune in tomorrow at this time for another study from the Book of God.